He's with me to 2 Kings, 2 Kings, chapter number 6, and I'll give you just a moment, let these fellows be seated. But 2 Kings, chapter number 6, we'll do our very best to mind the Spirit of God. That's what we've been trying to do thus far, is mind the Spirit of God. And as God speaks to our heart, we have no plans, no program as far as just worshiping the Lord. And we want the Lord to have free course, the Spirit of God to have liberty to move in the service. And we don't get bound down to programs. Amen. Now, the Bible said, let everything be done in decency and in order. We have an order, but God can break that order anytime He pleases. Right. Amen. It's all His. And so I do appreciate even our singers allowing us to try to follow the Spirit of God in the music. And we do our best to use everybody as we can. But I believe the music was in order this morning as well. And I hope you've been praying for the message. I need help today. If the Spirit of God doesn't help me, there'll be no help. Look at verse number 1. We'll read through about verse number 7. 2 Kings chapter 6, you know the story of Elisha and the lost axe head. And we've used this text some other times in the past, but the Lord's laid a word on our heart for this hour. The Bible says, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now. Now this is urgent. They're running out of room. Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. It's too confined. They've done got overloaded. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as they were felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. And therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Now what a miracle that God did there. An axe head did swim. Amen. If God wants an axe head to float, she'll float. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for the day, allowing us to be in your house. And we pray for the message now, Lord, that you'd fill us with your power. And Lord, make this message easy. Illuminate my mind. I ought to be in hell, Father, but you've been showing me mercy. And Lord, you've been good to me. You saved me. Washed me in your blood. And I ask you now, Father, look beyond my fault. See my need. And fill us with thy power. Touch hearts and lives here today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're preaching this morning, of course, on the axe head. There's a lot of great truths that can be brought out by picture and illustration in this text. The Lord saw fit to put this event in the Word of God. Now, again, it shows us the power of God. It shows us the obedience of man. And folks, if you want to see the power of God, there must be obedience to God. Amen. Now, again, that axe head fell in the water, and it was heavy. It went to the bottom. And, of course, if that man had not been obedient to the Word, he never would have saw that again. You know, I think about that. This is something the Lord just put in my heart. How much stuff, how many things in our lives are still at the bottom of the Jordan, so to speak? Come on now, think with me. Think outside the box a little bit. We stay in these boxes and we don't get what we need. That's right. Think about all the stuff in our life that we really wish would resurface as far as getting victory here and getting power there and getting answered prayer. Well, they're still floating at the bottom of the Jordan spiritually because we still live in disobedience. Had this prophet had not done what God had told him to do, that axe head would never have swam. It took a word from God, but it took man to be obedient to that word. And I know that may be simplicity, but yet, think about it. You have prayed, and you have prayed, you have prayed, you have prayed, and you don't understand. I'm not saying all prayers this way. Come on, you search your own heart. Sometimes God answers with yes, sometimes He answers with no, sometimes He answers with wait. But consider this. Could it be? And I don't have an agenda. The Spirit of God, hey, you can look at my notes. It's not in there. The Spirit of God's put this in my heart right here. Could it be? Think about your own life. Quit worrying about somebody else. Think about your heart, Christian. Could it be? Some prayers are still floating or drowned in the bottom of the Jordan of your life. Could it be the reason is because you still have not totally surrendered your life in obedience to God? We know what God wants from us. Generically, He wants the same thing from all of us. Specifically, it may be some different things, but generically, He wants us to pray, be faithful, live right, go to church, serve Him. It may be that you have been disobedient in your faithfulness, in your service, in your giving, in having a right spirit. Could be. Maybe. Possibility. And maybe that axe head in your life is not floating where you can get a hold of it or see what God can do, the power of God, because there is some type of disobedience there. Now, I don't know why the Spirit of God had me say that, but we said it, and I believe God was in it. However, we know this story. Man, I got so much I want to say that's in my mind. Y'all pray that God would gear me to, and I know every preacher here could preach a different sermon than this. God's word is inexhaustible, thank God. We know Elisha. Elisha was the one that God told Elijah to go get. And think about this. When Elijah found Elisha, what was he doing? He was working. He was working in the field with two yoke of oxen. He wasn't on the couch, but he was in the field. He wasn't sitting there waiting for the big call, but he was faithful where he was. He was diligent where he was. He was being what he ought to be where he was. Then the big call came. I sat in Bible college when God called me to preach, and maybe I was thinking about Bible college because the school of the prophets, this is what they're building. The school of the prophets had got too small. They was having to build a bigger place. That's growth. And I got to thinking about, it was probably the end of my first or maybe the beginning of the second year when God put it in my heart to pastor. I knew God had called me to preach, and I was going to preach, but I didn't know what area, what specific place of ministry that the Lord wanted me until I was about in my second year. So by 1990-91, I knew God wanted me to pastor. It was 97 before I got to pastor. 6 or 7 years before I got to pass, well, what was God doing? He knew I wasn't ready yet. And sometimes I wondered when I started if I was even ready. But however, he taught me, you young preachers, don't get ahead of God and don't get discouraged. 7 years. He got me through school, and he opened doors to preach. I started in nursing homes, radio, preached for people, men of God that would call on me. But at my church, I was there at visitation. I taught Sunday school. I supported my pastor. I was busy by the grace of God. Now, I got that. Every now and then I'd get a little discouraged, like, man, my friends are getting, that I went to this Bible college, they're getting churches, some of them done on a mission field. Well, Lord, what's wrong with me? I'm glad he was showed some mercy, because I hear him now saying, you're a little bit slower than they are. But he had the right place at the right time. He had the right place at the right time. And guess what? It wasn't a ready-made place. And it wasn't a big, fine building. And it wasn't a full-time position. Well, look at you now. All God's grace and God's plan. To God be all the glory. Folks, in 97, well, I didn't walk into this. You preacher, I didn't walk into this. I walked in a little old store building. Not a storefront, an old store building. Some of you, it wasn't much bigger than that building across the road over there. You got to get beyond what, I've got to have this. I got to have. You give God demands like that, you'll set a pew your whole life. Elisha was busy. Elisha was working. He was about his father's business. But when God called him, he forsook it all because it was time to move forward. God had handpicked that man to follow Elijah. And he followed Elijah. Elijah said, hey, you stay here. He said, no, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. And when it was time for Elijah to go in that chariot of and horses of fire, he said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of your spirit. And when Elijah, he said, if you see me leave here, you got it. And he went up. Elijah saw it. The mantle of Elijah hit the ground. He picked it up and carried on. Kind of look at it like this. Elisha was Elijah's Joshua. Moses had a Joshua. Elijah had Elisha. Someone that God had raised up for such a time as that to take up the mantle and keep his work going. So now Elisha's in a place here that he is overseeing young prophets that God had called to that service. And the ministry had grown, and now they're building on it. There's another thing I saw in this text about this young prophet that lost the axe head. He had diligent work, but he wasn't diligent in watching. He didn't see what he should have saw in the weakness of the axe head. He was going full head of steam, but he didn't have any wisdom to watch. There's a lesson there. We want to run full head of steam, and I believe God wants us to, but they say, we have to watch and pray. Elisha, his name means the God is salvation. But my thought this morning, man, I got a whole lot to say, and I'm going to leave it aside, and I'm going to get to the message. My thought this morning is focused on the axe head. The axe head, to me, could represent the power of God. It could represent the power of God, and it could represent our own life, who we are. In the right hand, which is God's, what he can do in us and through us. But in this text, we see growth and we see labor. God wants us to grow and he wants us to serve. But this individual without the axe head All he could do was either nothing or go through the motions. That's it. Nothing or go through the motions. I mean, wouldn't he look silly up there? What are you doing? I'm cutting this tree down. You don't even have an axe head. No, but I used to. I used to have the power of God in my life. Used to have a prayer life. Used to be close to God. I'm not anymore. But for everybody to think it, I'm going to go through the motions. I'm going to go through the motions of worship, motion of serving without the power of God. I'm going to do it through the energy of my flesh. And you know what that accomplishes? Nothing. Nothing. Let's notice some things. Number one, notice this. Some lose the axe head or the power of God, and they just keep on chopping. Not even concerned, there's no power behind it. Now, I'm all for faithfulness. But folks, one of the hardest things in the world to do is try to serve the Lord through the energy of our flesh. Oh, hey, it's good. He's still out there in the woods. Still maybe going through the motions. But he's doing it without the power of God, which nothing is happening. Nothing's getting done through his own energy. Folks, it reminds me of Samson in Judges 16. He had a secret. And he revealed that secret to Delilah about his hair. He took up on the oath of a Nazarite. There ain't no Nazarites in here. Because it's more than that. If you took up the oath of a Nazarite, a Nazarene isn't a Nazarite. They're not the same thing. Well, the Lord was a Nazarite. No, he was from Nazareth. A Nazarene, that's not a Nazarite. Nazarite was people that set themselves apart for a specific time. These things they did, couldn't do. It was a public show of obedience or a public show of self-denial. I won't go any farther. The Lord had Samson that way, and that secret was in his hair. That's why I don't believe Samson was a big old burly 6'10", 340 pounds. I believe he was a regular sized fella. Bible never says he was a giant. Bible never says he had any kind of physical look a bit. The power of God was on him. It's amazing what normal people can do when they have the power of God on them. Chew on that. Well, I don't have this education. I don't have that ability. Shh. Get the power of God on you. Get the power of God on you. You'll be amazed what God can do through you. Samson told his secret. He cut his hair. She said, hey, the Philistines have come upon you. And he woke up and shook himself, and he didn't even know the power of God had left him. He didn't even know, man, I'm fighting the flesh and the devil now in myself. And you see the outcome of that. He wound up with his eyes plucked out, being a sport for the Philistines, grinding at meals and laughing at him, taunting him. He didn't even know it. And folks, this man, one thing I like about him, he immediately knew this isn't right. I can't function this way. I can't serve this way. I can't be what I ought to be. I can't be a blessing this way. I can't work this way. And he panicked. In other words, he took it very seriously. See, some lose the axe, they lose the power of God, and they just keep on chopping, not even concerned. There's no power behind it. There's no power behind it. God help me. Man, I'm preaching to me. I surrendered to preach February the 5th, 1989. That's coming up, what, 36 years or so. Been pastoring 28 of those years, and I've learned it can't be done without the power of God. Amen. Notice secondly, this is just simple truths. Notice secondly, some realize the axe head of the power of God is gone and use the handle for a prop. Preacher, what in the world are you trying to tell us? Listen to this. They just stand there idle talking about how it used to be. They just stand there idle talking about how it used to be. Hey, I don't know if this thing will hold me or not, but Brother Pickle, you made them pretty stout. He could have stood there on his act on that handle. And everybody come by that's working with the axe head, accomplishing something. Hey, I was saved in whatever year, and I remember when God fell over here. And I remember when God did, and all they're doing is propped up on a handle, and they ain't doing anything now. I'm glad we can talk about how it used to be. But God's still God. He's not dead. He's still on the throne. He's still alive. Well, I remember when it used to be. Had a lady one time, she sent me a message, and she said, our church isn't what it used to be. And I said, really? She said, yeah, it ain't what it used to be. And I said, what's changed? I said, still preaching from the same book, people are getting saved, still singing the same songs, people come to the altar, people getting around. What's, and come to find out, we found out who had changed. See, a church just don't change, it's when people start changing. Come on. And it'll never get back to where you might think it should be as long as you don't do an evaluation of your own life. Well, it ain't this, it ain't that, it ain't the other, it ain't this. Why? All you're doing is propped up on a handle talking about how it used to be. Other people are still doing the labor. They're still working and doing for God, and God's still blessing. But you don't see it, you don't feel it, because you've lost the power of God in your life. And now instead of saying, it's me, O Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, that stands in need of prayer. We sit there and blame everything else. You know how you make your church better? You get better. I want more of the power of God in our church. So do I. I need to pray more. I need to seek God more. It ain't, we ain't got the power of God in our lives because Jonathan ain't doing right. Because Brother Andrew, Brother Will, they ain't doing right. We don't have the power. Hey. The power of God will leave. Hey, when we as a whole don't do right. Oh, it ain't what it used to be. What it used to be. I remember how some things used to be. Wildfire. Pastors halftime preaching, getting other people to fill the pulpit 95% of the time. Hey, that was just a bunch of holler and hooping. You don't even know what the power of God is. It's more than that. Man, I feel like preaching now. I feel like Tony Hutchinson. He said when he got up in the pulpit, he had butterflies. He said, now they're flying in motion. Some realize the axe head, the power of God's gone, but they just use the handle to prop up and talk about, boy, I wish it was like it used to be. Now, I'm not naive. There's some things that I saw growing up as a boy. Man, I'd like to see that again. But if we want to see stuff we used to see again, we can't work on nobody but us. And if you have a harsh desire to see things and experience things you might have once did, if you'll get where you ought to be with God, I believe God will let you see them. If he has to let you see them, just you and him. Some just prop up on it, sit there and moan and groan and complain. Y'all wished I hadn't preached this. I wished I hadn't either. Notice thirdly, we saw some lose the axe head, the power of God, and they just keep on chopping without the power. Some realize the axe head, the power of God's gone, and they use the handle to prop on it. Get this. Some lose the axe head of the power of God, and they go ahead and lay the handle down and quit altogether. Well, I appreciate that young prophet. He said, no, I can't let that happen. The easiest thing he could have done, ever who he borrowed that from, like most of us would have done, your axe head flew off in the water. What kind of junk you loaning? I mean, I sent a bow tie on it, but I didn't realize. I ain't talking about a bow tie. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. Watch it over there. Why you give me this kind of junk? I quit. He could have went by Elisha. Elisha said, where are you going? It's a mess. I borrowed an axe from old so-and-so. He gave me the junkiest thing he had. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to work. But so-and-so is hindering me. So-and-so didn't give me what I needed, what I wanted. Oh, it's always somebody else's fault. I quit. I'm done. I don't want no more. Hey, I just throwed it down. I'm done with this. I quit. Now, I imagine all of us at some time or another have thought about quitting. You young preachers, I promise you, it's going to enter your mind. You think I'm crazy right now. But I promise the day will come, you'll say, why did the Lord even call me into this? But you got a call. You have access. You have a guide. Keep on keeping on. Christian, the same goes for all of us. Hey, you give me this junk to use. It's not my fault I'm quitting. It's not my fault I'm done. The preacher didn't give me this opportunity. I didn't get this open door. So-and-so talked about me. So-and-so didn't speak to me. So-and-so didn't smile at me. I wasn't called on. I quit. We'll quit. Well, can I say something to you? In love, if he had a quit, the work wouldn't have ended. Now, it's never happened here. You understand what I'm telling you? It's never happened here, but I've heard of it. People leave and say, this church will go down now. Me and my family's leaving. It's never happened here. And if I blow up and blow out, I got no sense to know. God don't have to have me. I could blow up and say, you know what? So-and-so won't do this. I can't get that done. I just quit, go home, and never come back. And I hope I'm never so arrogant and prideful to think that I'll ride by here in 3 months on a Sunday morning and the parking lot be empty because I'm not there. That's a level of pride you don't want to get to. Because God's going to break your heart. He could have just said, hey, I ain't got nothing to work with. Nobody won't support me. Nobody didn't even care that happened to me. Nobody didn't even care that happened to me. Not one text, not one phone call, not one visit. My axe head come off. It was a tragic day. I quit. People will disappoint you. But God never has. Amen. People won't do right, but God will. Who are you in this thing for? Who are you in it for? Are you in it for the Lord, or are you in it because I want somebody to lift me up? I got to be number one. I know, I think I mentioned this other Sunday, or one service. There's two things that you don't need to let go to your head. A compliment and a criticism. The devil can use both of them against you. He uses a compliment against you. He uses somebody criticizing you against you. He can. Folks, even in bad days, we can still have pride. We're thinking, well, I don't deserve that. On good days, I deserve that. That's pride either way you go. No, here's what you deserve. Here's what I deserve is hell. That's what I deserve. That's what I ought to be. Well, nobody just don't brag on me. Or everybody's criticizing me. Yeah, if you get through this life without anybody being critical of you, you ain't doing something right. Something ain't going just right if everybody's always praising you. I mean, honestly, and I hate to use this as an illustration, but these poor college football coaches and the junk they have to deal with now. A college football player should not be making more than his coach. Now, he's working out the meal and playing ball at the same time. He's already getting free education. He's already getting free clothes. He's dumber than Boss Ross. He's making straight A's. Gonna come out of college a doctor or something. But let's get back to the coaches. I see them get praised when success is there. And then as soon as it comes time to rebuild a program, get rid of him. That's the sorriest thing I've ever seen. I don't even know if he's ever seen a football. You go to ripping down the posters. You don't get them season tickets again till they fire him. Let me tell you something about church. Let me tell you something about church. We in winter time outside. Y'all notice? It's cold. It's bitter. Things are dead out there. But that's the season we're in. Get it now. Come on. That's the season that we're in. Don't despair. Don't go to pointing fingers. Don't go to getting mad at nobody. Spring's coming. Then summer's coming. then hell on earth is here. Summer. No, we know better. Then fall, God's season. But stuff starts falling off. Stuff starts wilting. Do you understand? In all of our lives, for God to get completeness out of us, we have to go through these seasons. We have a church has seasons. I appreciate folks that have been around here through all the seasons. Why? Because God put you here. That's settled. You don't sit around and gripe, complain, and bellyache, and use every occasion you got to tell somebody how sorry it is. Boy, we got the best pastor in the world, but go through wintertime, we need to vote him out. Man, our choir's awesome. Let them miss a verse every now and then. Hey! What you doing letting that young man over there lead the choir? He don't know what he's doing. When he started, man, Andrew, man, God's got, hey, he still got it. Matter of fact, our song leader, our choir leader on problem, he's got is having to put up with me up there. Forgetting the words. Singing the second verse first. I'm not singing it at all. I'm so good. Y'all can be singing a song, and I can sing a totally different one. To y'all's this tune. Y'all ain't got that kind of gift. Y'all ain't got them skills. I got them skills. And don't even know I'm doing it until everybody's laughing at me and looking at me like, what are you doing? Seasons. It was a season. It was the will of God. Get a hold of this. It was, I'm trying to quit. It was the will of God that axe head fly off right then. That can't be the will of God. Here is a student body of prophets. God wanted them to get an object lesson. I'm trying to quit. He's trying to give them an object lesson. What better way to do it is cause that axe head to fly off that. He picked the right man. He knew that what it would bother. He knew that would be concerned. Hey, you got to get concerned about this now. He knew that it would touch. And everybody's gathered around. He said, throw that stick in the water. And they watched it. I've never done any research on it. Does anybody have any idea what that axe head could have weighed? Y'all don't study your Bible either. No, I'm just kidding. It was heavy. Yeah, at least. And to see God resurrect it. Boy, that's a message I ain't got time to preach. We see God, hey, preacher, I failed. I'm going to say a little bit about it. Preacher, I have failed. Man, my life is sunk. Go to God, get it right, and watch Him little by little resurrect it. Whoop. Watch him raise it back up. Failure's not final unless you cause it to be. If you'll humble yourself, get right with God, and get right with everyone else, you'll see God begin to... If it bothers you enough, you won't mind doing those things. But they got to see the power of God. Folks, you understand, some things, if they didn't happen to me in my life, I wouldn't have got to see what God's plan was. I'd have missed out on things. Looking back, folks, you understand, and I'm trying, I promise you I'm trying to quit. Come on, Courtney. Y'all understand the reason God won't let me carry a grudge against people? And I've been mad at people, and I've carried them for short terms. But you say, why? Are you that spiritual? Lord, no. But I look back, especially I'm talking about in my ministry. I look back to some things I thought was just devastating. And at the time, to me, they were. They were devastated. Having to leave places that I knew all my life. Leave people that I knew all my life. I couldn't understand. Man, it was devastating. But you look back down the road, you would not be where you're at had God not allowed that. And I could give you a list, and I wouldn't dare do that, because if you've forgiven people, you don't keep bringing it up. And I see I'd have been sunk had God not allowed it. Folks, I mean, I know most of y'all know me. You know I don't have to say this. I ain't got enough sense to do this kind of stuff. I had a friend of mine who was going to have a big old thing, and he wanted me to teach a 90-minute class on building a work. Well, I gave him two reasons. I won't go into the first one because it don't matter. I mean, it does matter, but I ain't preaching that. I said, well, here's reason number one. I said, here's reason number two. I couldn't tell you. I said, I don't know. What do you mean? You know, I said, 90 minutes? 90 minutes? How long does it take you to say, but God? Do it by the book. God's just merciful. Give your life to Him. He'll put you where He wants you, doing what He wants you to do. In the class. I can't write a book on how to build a church. The Lord already wrote one. What I need to write one for? He's already wrote a book on it. And I don't need 90 minutes. I don't need an hour. I don't need 30 minutes. I don't need 50. Y'all understand where I'm going with this? Everybody gets an A, aim at four or five questions. But God, He's merciful. Go by the book. Be faithful. Serve Him. The end. And I can put a verse behind every one of them. Folks, do you think that a man that's pastoring a church that runs 30 people is not right with God? You're ridiculous to think that. You think a man that's pastoring a church that runs 1,500 is a compromiser? You're ridiculous for thinking that. God puts us where He wants us. I don't understand God's plan at all, but guess what? He gets the glory, and no flesh glories in His presence. Let me give you this last thought, because I done preached about four messages. You ain't fell asleep over there, have you? All right. Forgot you was over there. Lastly, was she on her phone? Was she over texting? What's she doing over there? Get this, some, and I didn't preach this, I'm going to give it to you quickly. Some lose the accent of the power of God. They realize it's gone, get upset about it, and cry out to God to help them regain it. They retrieve it, nail it down, so they won't lose it again. There you go. There you go. Hey, don't worry about if I've lost the power of God. Have you lost the power of God? Has the power of God gone from your life? If it is, it don't have to stay that way. Are you concerned about it? Do you care? If it ain't bothering you, that ought to bother you. Let's all stand. Go ahead, Ms. Core.